new episode of Her Healthful. We are going through some changes, stepping into a new era. My username on Instagram, if you follow me there, is no longer Her Healthful. It is simply Araste, and I'm so excited for this new change, the transition from a name that I honestly still love. Her Healthful is not going to die. It's still going to be the podcast name, and it will live on in different ways, and you'll find out why next month. But it's just nice to have the username be more personalized. It's my name. It gives me more of an identity as me being behind the brand. But also, I do know how. It was months in the making of me getting just my first name as the username, and I'm so happy that I got it because it looks so good. And if there's a perk that should come with having a complex name, it's that I should be able to get my first name on Instagram because it's not a common name and I love it. So I'm so excited about that. There wasn't a podcast last week because I was sniffly and sick and gross, so I didn't sound my best, but I have felt way more inspired with the time change. The days are longer and I'm feeling so good. Usually this time change makes me really tired, but for some reason I'm feeling super energized. Maybe it's because the sun is now setting at 7 p.m. and I'm like, we are so close to summer. Even though it wasn't that bad of a winter, it's just nice to have more daylight, and I'm so happy. So today's episode is based on something crazy that happened to me 2 days ago. If you follow me on Instagram, you saw my stories, maybe you saw my viral TikTok. And let me just say, this was not in my 2024 bingo card. This is the most random, iconic thing that could have happened to me on a Monday, nonetheless. Keep in mind that I never see celebrities, and also in Toronto, it's just like, unless there's TIFF or movies being shot here, you're literally not running into celebrities. It's just not a thing. It's not like LA. I kid you not, I saw Jacob Elordi, my celebrity crush, like literally in love with him. I just can't even believe this happened. So let me paint a picture. I was going to get coffee with my friend Linda, and we were gonna go somewhere on Queen West. We were originally gonna go to one cafe, and then last minute I asked if we could go to another one just so I could be closer to the subway. Neither of us have been to this cafe. It's called Hot Black Coffee, but we were gonna meet around 5:30, like after her work, which that in itself is pretty unusual for me. Like, I'm never grabbing a coffee or just meeting somebody at a cafe that late. So we were planning to do that, and then we get there. The only seats available are by the window. So we sit by the window, we're talking, and we're mid-conversation talking about something so deep, like our careers, and Linda just like looks out the window. She's pondering her answer to a question I asked, and all of a sudden she's like, is that Jacob Elordi in a car, in like this black car with tinted windows, but the window where he's sitting is rolled down and he has a baseball cap on? Literally freaked out. I don't even know what happened in that moment. I didn't realize I took out my phone and started recording because I needed subconsciously some proof that it was him and that we were actually witnessing that. The craziest part was he was at a red light. So if he wasn't, it would have just been Linda seeing him and not even being sure if it was him. But he was at a red light, and this is the best part. I literally cannot emphasize how badly you need to see the video on TikTok, because you will know what I'm saying when I describe the little finger wave that he gave to us. He saw us and he saw that I was recording, and he gave the most suave little finger wave. I'm telling you, you need to go to my TikTok and just see what I'm talking about, because it is the most charming Nate-coded thing ever, and the comments under my video are hilarious. But yeah, that was just like iconic. I can't believe that happened. I can't believe that happened in Toronto. I am just at a loss of words. So you may be wondering, how is this episode gonna be about that? Like, am I just gonna talk about this the whole episode? And no. The reason why I bring that up is because A, it's like living rent free in my head and I just have to share it again. But B, my Roman Empire is and always has been the butterfly effect. If you haven't heard about the butterfly effect, it's basically the idea that small decisions and small actions lead to big consequences. And innately, that's so obvious, I guess, but it's a whole theory and effect. And it's called the butterfly effect because something as tiny as the flap of a butterfly's wings could eventually, in a sequence of actions, lead to something so major happening, like a tornado in a whole other part of the world. So that's the reason why I told that story, is because there were so many small decisions and factors that we wouldn't even think twice about that eventually led us to see him in the car. It actually boggles my mind, and I think about this all the time when I maybe run into somebody or how I met a friend in the first place. There's just so much going on that we are unaware of, and how one action leads to something else is truly why I can be so indecisive at times. And a small decision like what to wear, taking the subway or not, taking a certain path to go on a walk or going to one coffee shop versus another, like all of those decisions are seemingly trivial and small, and it's like, who cares, just make a decision. But because of the butterfly effect and how much I think about how small decisions can lead to a big consequence, that is what makes me indecisive. So I wanted to talk a little bit about how that principle can kind of be applied to other parts of our life. And how there is a balance, obviously, where you don't want to become too indecisive, but also the principle of small things making big changes is really important, and it's actually something that can be helpful in so many different domains of life. Just in case the butterfly effect isn't making total sense to you, I want to give a few examples because it is the coolest concept and I could talk about it all day. But the first example is traffic. We've all experienced traffic, and usually traffic starts from a few people who are driving slower, and you know, they might be causing a ripple effect that then causes a traffic jam in other parts of the city, and it becomes so much larger than what it was. Or you could take small acts of kindness. Say if the person in front of you at the coffee shop offered to buy your coffee, you know, they just wanted to do a good deed that day, then that might make your whole day. That might turn your day around and cause like a positive ripple effect in your own social circle, and then that could spread from each person who felt that kindness, and it could just go on and on and on. And who knows, maybe that positivity that was spread to one individual granted them an opportunity that they would have never gotten otherwise because they were having a bad day up until that point. Okay, last example, because this was also something recent that happened, but if there is a code for an app and there is one mistake, one little bug, that could be so severe that it then leads to an outage. Like last week, there was an Instagram outage for a few hours, and who knows what effects that had on a larger scale for other people. So although I think about the butterfly effect a lot, especially when cool and random things happen, I have never really pieced together that small things we do in our life for ourselves, for our well-being, like doing a workout class or meditating in the morning, that is an example of the butterfly effect also in play, because it's a seemingly small decision, a small act of self-care, but it can lead to the biggest consequences and the biggest change in ourselves. Maybe not right away, maybe it's over time through a chain of actions, but I put two and two together like 2 days ago when this happened, and I'm like, this is why wellness has to be in small steps and it can't be radical changes. And I've definitely been in the position before where I'm doubting all of the self-care things I'm doing or all of the little habits that might be making a difference, but I'm just like, really, they're so small, how much of a difference can they be making? And now that I'm thinking about it in the lens of the butterfly effect, I'm like, of course, small decisions and small actions are everything. So although you won't see the effects and the benefits right away, and sometimes I actually do, you know, I feel better after I meditate, and even if it's not like this monumental change, just adopt the mindset that it can be like the butterfly effect. Like, you never know whether that small shift from a meditation you had in the morning is going to then affect a bigger thing later that day or later that week. You just don't know, and that's why it just gives me so much of a better mindset for taking care of myself and doing those small things. And you know me, I'm a Pinterest girly, and one of my favorite Pinterest quotes is, "The little things are the big things." And in this context, that is just like the truest thing you could say, and we really need to be mindful of all of those small actions. but especially in our relationships, like how we speak to ourselves, how we speak to others. I think that's why language is so important, but we are often neglectful of what we're saying to ourselves, whether it's our self-talk, saying something like, I'm so stupid, or just like putting yourself down. You might not think it's having a big effect, but it could be. And you don't know how that's going to be rippling in your life, in other people's lives. So be careful with your vocabulary and how you are using it. It is so much stronger than you think, especially when we think about our subconscious and how much that is taking in things we might not even be realizing, such as how we talk to ourselves. If we think about social wellness, our network of people, the friendships we have, and who we surround ourselves with, it might just seem like another friendship, another person there, and like how much of an impact can one person really make? And the answer is probably a lot. So really also take into account that those friendships, the people you are with, are going to make a huge impact, even if you can't directly see it. Again, it's literally just the butterfly effect at play in every single domain. Even though it seems like small, trivial decisions and things that are part of our life, I think it can be very empowering to see it that way and realize that you are kind of in control of your life in those small aspects, whether it's an act of self-care or who you decide to hang out with. But where the problem comes for me is I can become super indecisive, especially when I think about something like this for too long, where I'm not even necessarily indecisive about super large major decisions in my life, because I think you can just do a pros and cons list and there's a more methodical way to think about it. But it's truly always the small trivial decisions where I'm indecisive for no reason. Well, for this reason, because I want to make the most optimal choice that could potentially lead to something great happening. I'm not actually thinking that. I usually just want to make the best choice. And if I'm in a group setting, it's even worse if I'm with other agreeable people, because none of us will make a decision. We'll all just be like, yeah, whatever you want, you know, I'm good with anything. And over the years, one of my biggest goals has been to reduce my indecisiveness. It is actually so tiring and so exhausting to continuously ponder over which choice to make. It is a waste of your brain's resources that you could be using to do something else more productive. And I have had some things that have really worked for me, so I'm going to share some with you in case you go through the same thing. The first one is to embrace imperfection, and this has to be on the larger scale of your life and your outlook and how you act on a daily basis with different people, and you know, not wearing a mask to try to always be perfect, and being okay if others are seeing you in a less than perfect state, because that is normal, that is human. And I think for so long I thought I had to show up perfect online, like on my social media. But when I realized that, A, I love when other people show up imperfectly online, it makes it feel so relatable and I just feel connected with them. And B, I just became more accepting of myself and my flaws and realized that I'm my own worst critic. Those two things combined made me just like care less and realize I don't have to show up perfectly all the time. Even in my offline social relationships, I thought I had to be the one who is the perfect friend and never makes mistakes and just always has to show up a certain way. And if somebody is truly going to be your friend or be your partner, they should be accepting of all parts of yourself. Not to say that there isn't room for self-improvement, of course there is, but just leaning into the fact that you're an imperfect human is going to help with indecisiveness, because then you realize you're also not going to make perfect, ideal decisions all the time. And the beauty in that is that you will learn from your decisions. You are in a constant state of learning and realizing that not everything is going to be perfect the first time, the second time, but eventually you'll realize what works for you. For example, I have tried to be an afternoon or evening workout girly sometimes, and I've noticed that those decisions weren't the best because I'm just not that person. My circadian rhythm doesn't work that way. I love a morning workout. It's when I have the most energy. I feel my best after, and that is a decision I now make and have learned is optimal for me. But embracing the process of trial and error, oh, I didn't get it right, oh, let me try again, it's all part of it. So it's hard to say that when you really want to make the best decision, but trust me, lean into the imperfection and it will do wonders. responders for you. Sometimes if I'm really caught up in what to choose, I will leave it up to fate. For example, I will flip a coin. I will do something that is so out of my control that even if it isn't the best decision, it technically wasn't on me. It was the coin. So if you're really feeling stuck and just need to move on with your course of action, you can do that. You can just ask somebody to pick for you. Like, there are things that need to be done. And I always have this quote in my head as well, but the wrong decision is always better than indecision, because at least you are doing something. You are making progress and you are actively taking steps towards something. But if you're in a state of indecision, you are just paralyzed, you're stuck, and you are not moving in any direction, which is worst. You want to just make a decision and not be stuck. I know there's a big debate on whether you should use emotion or logic when you make decisions, and I think it's always a gray area where it's a mix of both, and it depends on what type of decision. Like, when it comes to buying a house, obviously there has to be some logic and calculations and, you know, budget and financing involved, but if it's something like who you want to spend the rest of your life with, then that's obviously going to involve emotion. And some of the other decisions are in between. I am personally very in tune with my body, my emotions, and I don't throw logic out the window, but if my intuition and my gut is telling me something, I'm not going to ignore it. I think that's where sometimes mistakes can come through, when you realized your intuition was telling you something and then you ignored it, and it's like hindsight 2020. But I'm a big believer that your subconscious and your body kind of already knows what it wants before you even know. And sometimes it manifests in ways where it's not a thought that you're explicitly thinking, but maybe it's manifesting in another way where, like, you're getting a stress rash because you decided to go with a job that you really didn't want to go with. There are so many ways where you can stay in touch with your body and really listen to what's going on. But again, not throwing logic out the window, you still need that. And also, take into account that sometimes other people's advice and just another perspective can be helpful in getting you out of your own ruminative cycle and just getting you out of that one perspective you have. You don't necessarily have to follow their advice, but it can bring you more clarity and maybe confirmation that you want to do something or that you really don't want to do something. I find one of the best ways to reduce my own indecisiveness is to make a plan beforehand. This goes a lot with my daily routine, especially during the weekday. If I'm not kind of time stamping my day out the night before, then it is just like the worst day ever. I'm constantly like, okay, what should I do next? And I'm just in that paralyzed mode where I don't know what I want to do. So even though I'm technically making decisions the night before, there's something about having the time and having the freedom to, you know, plan out your day and not necessarily be committed to it, but you're like, okay, at least I can take away some of that mental effort from me tomorrow. And there's something about it. When I open my agenda or my Google Calendar and my day is set out before me, it feels so good because now I have the bandwidth to actually work on the tasks I need to instead of prioritizing what I want to do at what time of day and where do I want to go to do work. It's a lot and it's really tiring, and I'm not going to lie, that's kind of where my day is at today because I just did not have the energy last night to do this when in reality it would have only taken 5 to 10 minutes. So I definitely want to do this tonight for tomorrow. Another example I can think of is when I do a workout class and I didn't put out my clothes the night before. So in the morning, I'm like, ugh, I don't know what to wear. And it's just become so much more of a chore to do the workout. So as much as you can, if you can make decisions beforehand, especially those small ones, it'll be such a saving grace when you actually then have to do the task. You want to offload as much as you can. You don't want there to be mental barriers for you to take action. So on Sunday nights, for example, I plan out my week and I write out my weekly to-do because then I'm not flustered and overwhelmed on Monday. Try to do things beforehand, but do not overplan. You don't want to be stuck in planning mode and not take any action. It is a balancing act with all things in life. And those are some things that have helped me. I realized that this episode may have been all over the place, but I was really excited to record this because, like I said, the butterfly effect, decision making, all of that is up my alley, and so is Jacob Elordi. I just had to tell you that story. It was the best thing that's happened to me all year. by far. And that's all I have for today. I hope you enjoyed this kind of chaotic episode that I personally loved, and that you have an amazing rest of your day. If it's warm out where you are, go out for a walk, or maybe you're out for one right now. I'm so excited to get outside, and that is precisely what I'm going to be doing right now. I will talk to you next week, and there's going to be more guest episodes coming along because I think we need to spice it up a bit. I think you guys want to hear somebody else's voice instead of just mine. So look forward to that. And if you haven't, be sure to join the Geneva group. We're just going to have chats about each episode. And if you have any questions or follow-ups or just like any thoughts whatsoever. So that is linked below in the show notes. And that's it. I will talk to you next week. Okay, bye. Love you.